meritassemblyonline.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And it is Thursday. It is Brevard County. It is a beautiful place to live. Jesus is on the throne. It is a good opportunity for us to praise the Lord. My name is Bob Arthurs. We want to welcome you to the Refresh radio program today, right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, where the Word of God goes out over airwaves we cannot see to reach ears we do not know who they belong to, and shares with them the good news of Jesus Christ so that their eternity can be changed and our impact on our community can increase. And we want to encourage you to grow in your faith as much as possible. Want to take just a moment to invite you out to Merritt Assembly of God. Our address is 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, Florida. You know, Merritt Island's kind of different. There's North Grove Street, there's a Grove Boulevard, there's a North Grove. And I think there might even be a couple of Island Groves or some other type of grove. But if you want to know where we're at, just type in 165 N period Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, into your maps program, and it'll bring you right there. I used to think it was hard to find Merritt Assembly of God, and then we hosted Project Graduation one year, and they had a yard sale in our sanctuary 2 days, a Friday and a Saturday, and found out that people didn't have any trouble finding Merritt Assembly of God during a yard sale at all. They were lined up down the street waiting for us to open the doors, and I was like, God, may that be the case when it comes to seeking your face. May there be an increased hunger and appetite for the things of God and for God himself, to where people are eager to get into the house of God, not for a bargain basement purchase, but that they can see that Jesus is the greatest value that they will ever experience in their life. So we are celebrating 70 years this coming Sunday morning, 10:30. Malcolm Burleigh is going to be speaking for us. He is a phenomenal speaker. He's bilingual. He just has a heart for reaching people, precious, precious saints of God, valuable members of the kingdom of God. And we are honored that he is going to be here with us to celebrate. And we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. You know, I've been doing this almost 9 years here on the radio, and I came to this realization a long time ago, and that is most of the people who listen, I will never get to meet. If you would love to come and celebrate us, we'd love to get the opportunity to meet you, and I'll be the guy that does some of the talking, but not all of the talking that day. Hopefully you can come and join us this Sunday morning at 10:30. Today we're going to go into the Word of God. We're going to be in Luke chapter 12, and I don't know if we'll get all the way through this particular passage here today or not. In verse number 41, it says, "Then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, My master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two, and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask even more. So we're going to work our way through this. Jesus was a masterful teacher. Most of the people that he spoke with did not have the ability to read. It doesn't mean that they were stupid. It meant that they did not have access to a lot of literature. There were very few people who knew how to read. A lot of times there were scribes, and you know, so when Jesus was able to read the scrolls, that was an amazing thing for those days. You know, with that in mind, I want you to take just a moment and thank God whenever you get the occasion that you have the Bible in a language that you can understand. That is something that is from a historical perspective, is a relatively new thing. Most of the time people had to have other people explain the Bible to them. And now we have the ability to go to the Word of God itself. Now, when we talk about that, we believe that the Bible is the inerrant Word of God, we don't mean that the language that, or the translation that we're using is the inerrant Word of God. But when God spoke the word, that it was an inerrant word. It is without flaw. It is perfect. And, you know, if there is a situation that we don't understand, the first thing that we can take out of the equation is that there is a flaw in the word. There are many unbelievers that their predisposition, their bias, is to think that if they don't understand something, that it is the Word of God that is at fault instead of they themselves. I want you to know that the Bible is the perfect Word of God. Okay? It is perfect, and He wants us to understand it. There are people who literally gave their lives. Many people were persecuted simply because there were people who did not want you to have the ability to read the Word of God and understand it for yourself. They thought people were too dumb to be able to figure out the Word of God themselves. Now, I will tell you that there are some people who have not historically handled the Word of God perfectly. We are to study the Word of God so that we could show ourselves approved. But Jesus treated the people in a manner different from the religious hierarchy of his day. He went and hung out with people and explained the Word of God, taught the Word of God in a manner that they were sitting there hanging on his every word. And one of the things that he did in his teaching was that he would use parables. He would use word pictures that people could understand. It would get them to think about the Word of God, and that's what one of Jesus' teaching styles were. But it doesn't mean that everybody had perfect understanding. It literally took the disciples after his resurrection before they understood many of the things that Jesus had tried to teach them. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit's going to be your teacher. He's going to guide you into all truth. Thank God that the Word of God is spiritually discerned and not intellectually discerned. When we first came to Brevard County, my wife and I worked conflicting shifts. We did that by choice because we had a child that required care, and we wanted to make sure that we were the ones that cared for him instead of having to put him in daycare. So that was the choice that we made. And I would pick her up from work because we only had the one car when we moved here. And I would listen to this guy, and he said, I read the Bible one time, I didn't understand it, and so I never went back to it. You know, this guy was supposed to be one of the most intellectual people of his day. I think his name was Bruce. I don't remember what his last name. Some guy, I was telling the story one time, and he said, oh, I remember that guy. His name was Bruce, you know, and so that's why I think his name was Bruce, but I don't remember what his last name is. And if he went to college, I guarantee you that he didn't just read the book one time and put it down and say, well, if I don't understand it, I'm not going to take the test, and, oh, well, I'll just go ahead and move forward. The Word of God is a priceless, precious gift from God, and the more we study it, the more we learn about it, the more we know that we didn't know. And so we need to say, God, teach us what the Word means and teach us how we can apply it to our lives. So I was flipping through the channels here several weeks ago, and I saw a pastor of some renown, and he had some props up on his stage, and he was telling about the acronym of his message, and without asking or without probing and asking a friend of mine who may know that gentleman, but I know where that acronym came from. And so I was like, I recognize that. And one of the things was you need to understand the principles of the Word of God and the application, what it says, what you can observe, what you can apply, and the principles of it. I know some of the people that have made that famous. I used to read their devotionals every day. If all you do is get head knowledge out of it, but you never apply it, you're missing out on some of the lessons that Jesus has for us. So Peter says, Jesus, I don't understand. Can you help us to understand? Is this for us or is this for everybody? And the Lord, Jesus, then says this, who then is that faithful and wise steward? So Jesus says, and he begins to tell Peter a parable here about a steward, and this steward has three characteristics. The first one is that he is faithful. So I have not gotten all the way through a sermon series that I have been working on. I've been pressing forward with it, but it's a pretty lengthy sermon series. You could jump in at any given point in time. We're just a few sermons away from being done with that particular series, and then I'm going to hand out a handout to the congregation and say, okay, here's what we've talked about as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Where do you fall on this spectrum? And it's going to be for each point. So, if you were to ask me, if you were going to hire somebody, would you want someone who was gifted, or would you want someone who is faithful? If you weren't married and you were looking for a spouse, praying for a spouse, would you want someone who was beautiful, someone who was rich, someone who is famous, or would you want someone who is faithful? I think that faithfulness is an underrated commodity in America, but it's not underrated when it comes to God. Let me just give you one example, and that is this. When you die, and you stand before God, having your sins forgiven by the blood of Jesus and having asked him to be the Lord of your life, what is the one thing that all of us are looking to hear? Isn't it, well done, good and faithful servant? See, faithfulness sets us up, being a faithful person sets us up to see the faithfulness of God. Jeremiah wrote in Lamentations, "Great is thy faithfulness." God, you are the faithful God. You are the one who is faithful and true. The Bible says, who can find a faithful man? I want you to know, find faithful people. If you're an employer, you want faithful people doing work for you because you don't want them helping themselves to company resources. You don't want them to be undermining your company and edifying someone else's company. You want faithful people. Well, God is looking for faithful people as well. And so he begins this parable, this explanation, by saying, who then is that faithful? And then he adds this, wise, faithful and wise. So you need to remember that when it comes to wisdom, there are two different wisdom systems. There is the wisdom of this world, and then there is the wisdom from heaven. And those two systems may not always be compatible or agreeable. They come many times from two different primary objectives. The wisdom from heaven is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And so wisdom that God is looking for us to operate from begins with having a healthy and holy relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's the foundation. When we start there, that's the point that we can build upon. The wisdom of this world doesn't have its objective in pleasing God or growing the kingdom of God. The wisdom of this world says you've got to make life as comfortable for yourself, as prosperous for yourself. It is self-motivated instead of God-motivated, or self-centered instead of God-centered. And so I want you to know that one of the two systems is inferior to the other, but it's not ours. It's not the wisdom that comes from heaven. You see, God is an expert. God is the expert in every field. Back when we had satellite television or cable television, whatever it was, I would like to watch the programs, the science programs, and they would always interview the same people. That was always fascinating to me. And in one program, those experts would be saying, this is the way it works. And then in another program, they would say something like, well, we don't really know how that works. And they presented themselves as an expert, and a lot of times they would undermine their own belief system. A lot of times they would say, well, this is the way we thought it was, and now we don't think it works that way anymore. Now we think it works this way. And so it was always fascinating. You see, the world has theories, but God has reality. And so we are not only called to be faithful, but we are called to be faithful, and we're supposed to operate in wisdom as well. So this last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday, and a lot of times people, Pentecostal and charismatic people, have been bad about this. I'll say that as one, okay? We have been really bad when we have examined the compatibility of wisdom and the Spirit-led actions that God would want us to take. A lot of times we'd say, well, I know that this doesn't make any sense whatsoever, but God wants me to do it. Well, I believe that there's wisdom that comes from God, and there's the direction that comes from God. I believe that they're supposed to operate from a compatibility standpoint, not from a competitive standpoint. So if you're, you know, just beginning your walk with God, God wants you to walk in wisdom. He wants you to walk in the wisdom that comes from Him. And He also wants you to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. So I want to encourage you, get into the Word of God so you know the wisdom of God, because God's never going to tell you to do something that is going to violate His principles. Never going to violate the Scriptures. So I told you there were three. We've talked about faithful, we've talked about wise, and the third one is steward. And it's a concept that we really don't think about too much here in America. We talked a little bit about it on yesterday's program, and that is that everything we have belongs to God. When I was in business, I always found my way to management. I didn't have to stab anybody in the back to get there or anything like that. I just needed to do my job, and God would open the doors. And the guy who cuts my hair, he's a little bit older than I am, a few years older than I am, and he doesn't have near the gray hair that I've gotten. And I asked him one day, I said, you know, how come I've got, you know, hair that's graying much earlier in my life than my dad did, and here you are, you're several years older than I am, and you don't have near as much gray hair as I've got. And I can tell that he doesn't, you know, do the Grecian formula thing or Just for Men thing or any of those other products. I said, how come you don't? He said, well, you got all of that stuff with that bad word in it. And I said, what's that? He said, responsibility. And so everywhere I went, I ended up, you know, getting promoted and becoming the boss and having to take care of things. And I ran my stores the way that I would have run them if I had owned them. I wanted to be faithful in the little things so that I could demonstrate that I could be faithful with even more. And you see, that's what I want. I want to be faithful to God. I want to be faithful to His call. I want to be faithful with His resources. And so when I managed my stores, I was faithful with the company's resources. And I said, I'm going to do this the way that the company wants it done, because that's the way that I won't want people acting in my life. One time they sent out a policy, a new policy. They'd shifted from the customer was always right, which was bankrupting them. They did go bankrupt. They shifted to a different policy, and I tried to operate with the way that they told me, and somebody didn't like it. They filed a complaint about me. My general manager came and showed up and said, you know, why is the president of the company calling me? And I said, well, this is what they wrote. This was the condition. And he said, you know, just take care of it. We don't want the president being written. And I was like, okay, I understand now. And so I went and I was praying, and God said, okay, you've been treating their resources the way they wanted you to, but they're their resources. And so if they've changed their mind, you just do whatever they're telling you. And I said, Yes, sir. And that's how I concluded my season with that particular company. I want you to know that you are valuable to God. You're more valuable to God than money. You are more valuable to God than any creation that has gone out there. There's only one of his creation that he died for, and that was man. And so he redeemed you. You are valuable and you are priceless. Please steward your life. Please steward God's resources in your life as if they belong to God. Be faithful with them. Be faithful in the little things, and you will have more things entrusted to you. Jesus said, if you are not faithful in money, how can I entrust you with true spiritual wealth? I'm trying to share with you that if we will be faithful and we will be wise and we will realize that we're just stewarding the gifts that God has entrusted to us, it will make a big difference in the way that we live. So steward your health. Steward your family. Steward your giving, your resources. This particular parable is a business parable. It is describing a man who is entrusted with supervisory authority, and God said, I'm looking for someone that's faithful, I'm looking for someone that's wise, and I'm looking for someone that'll realize that they're just stewarding my resources. Folks, don't blink, because time flies by. And you need to be a faithful steward of what God has. I want to be here as long as God wants me to be here, but I don't want to be messing things up. I don't want to embarrass the King. I don't want to embarrass my Savior. And so that's one of the reasons why we are encouraged to be faithful and wise stewards. So that's pretty much where we're going to end for today's program. I've only got one more opportunity, and that is tomorrow to invite you out to our 70th anniversary celebration this weekend. We have a special gift for everyone who comes Sunday morning at 10:30. We're going to be presenting that gift then. It'll be a blessing to you. It's absolutely free. Come and be a part of what God is doing. Sunday morning, 10:30, 165 North Grove Street. We'll see you tomorrow right here on
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
There is no guilt here, there is no shame, no pointing fingers, there is no blame. What happened yesterday has disappeared. The dirt has washed away, and now it's clear. There's only grace, there's only love, and there's only mercy, and believe me, it's enough. Your sins are gone without a trace, and there's nothing left now. There's only starting over now.
under the sun. And you're stepping forward now, a new life.